impacted lives beyond recognition. Dennis Martin reporting, USA Radio Network News.
For many kids, high school graduation is still a dream, not a reality. For them, a brighter future might be within view, but not within reach. Fortunately, there are boys and girls clubs all over the country helping these kids find their way. When they join the club, they're entering a positive place, a place where they could take advantage of numerous educational programs and eventually even receive college scholarships. Most of the kids who go to the boys and girls clubs will go on to college. Often they're the first ones in their family to do that. But for every child we help, there are thousands more who still need to be given that opportunity. I'm Denzel Washington, and I'm asking you to help these kids create a positive future instead of just dreaming about it. Call 1-800-854-CLUB and support a program that works. The Boys and Girls Clubs, the positive place for kids.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, and this is Tuesday. And every Tuesday on the Scoop, I try to debate someone with views quite different from my own. I've invited today someone who's been on the show quite a lot, though not a lot recently. And I call him affectionately my favorite Republican hack. His name is Jim Parmelee. He's the chairman of the Northern Virginia Republican Political Action Committee and president of Republicans United for Tax Relief. And one of the reasons why I like to have Jim on the show is he can be expected, 98% of the time, to reliably spout whatever the White House is thinking. He just, whatever the president wants, Jim Parmelee is there to defend it. And I think that's a virtually impossible, thankless task, but Jim is always ready to step it up and do it. And so, Jim, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Well, thank you for having me on.
There are a number of questions that I want to pose to you, and a number are posed by our listeners already. And you can post questions, by the way, at radioinsidescoop.com. But today I'd like to focus more on the war in Iraq. All questions are valid, but more on the war and the way the president is conducting the war. And I really don't even have to ask you the tough questions myself, because I have a poster named Robert who's already posted two very good questions. He posted it last debate Tuesday. They weren't answered, so I'm going to ask you again this debate Tuesday. His question number one, Robert asks, is what is the latest, most fattest goal and reason for fighting in Iraq as you think the White House sees it? What is the goal? Why are we there?
Well, I mean, we're looking at a worldwide war on terror. And, you know, I know that you're going to say that, Saddam Hussein didn't bomb us on 9/11 and so on. I've read the blogs and all of that. But we're looking at an enemy that is dispersed around the globe, and we have interests around the globe. So, I mean, it's pretty simple. We're going after terrorists.
Really? That's the main reason we're in Iraq? Because, you know, the terrorists were in Florida, they're in Germany, they're in Algeria, they're in Libya, they're in Russia, they're in France. I guess we need to invade all those countries as well. Right?
We're going after them wherever they are. I mean, we are going after them wherever they are through a variety of means. But
Saudi Arabia and Pakistan
for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. There were other reasons too, and no, we haven't found weapons of mass destruction. A lot of them were already used on the Kurds and others. I mean, Saddam was certainly killing a lot of people with weapons of mass destruction. By the time we got there, perhaps he had used them all up.
Well, see, Jim, that's why I think Robert's question is the right one. He didn't say, why do we go in? His question was, what's the latest, most faddest? I don't know if faddest is a word, but he means the latest fad, the latest trend. What is the latest goal and reason for fighting in Iraq, as you believe the White House sees it? Why are we there now?
I believe believe the White House told the truth in that they had evidence, and we saw the evidence, and we went into Iraq to stop weapons of mass destruction, to take out a dictator, and to enforce enforce what he had supposed to have been living under since the previous Gulf War. Now, having gone in there and having not found weapons of mass destruction, I know a lot of folks are pointing to that and saying, well, we shouldn't have gone in. But we had a very good reason to believe that they were there, and we went in.
Now, that's not my question. Yeah, what's the latest reason?
Things.
Why are we still there? What's our goal now? I mean, okay, we went in on a false pretense. It turned out to be false. We can argue,
well,
you and I, a long time, whether it was...
reason. I mean, there were other reasons,
okay,
too.
Why are we there now?
Weapons of mass destruction.
Why are we there now? What's our goal there now? It's not weapons of mass destruction.
To build a democracy and to make it a stable area of the world.
Okay, so that's it. I'm writing this down. Build a democracy.
I mean, I'm sure there are additional goals that the White House and others have, but I think the core is we would like to make it democratic.
Okay, so the heart of the goals, the reason we're there now, in answer to Robert's question, is to build a democracy and make it a stable area of the world, which I think would be wonderful things. Of course, I think it'd be great if we could find a pot of gold at the end of every rainbow, but that's another thing. Okay, so that's our goal. That's number one. So now comes Robert's question number two. See, Robert, you did a good job on the blog here. All right, if our goal is to build a democracy and make it the most stable area of the world, Robert asks, what does the United States need to reach this goal? How to do it? People, equipment required, policy to set. What do you think? How do you think we're doing in accomplishing this goal, and what do we need to get there if we don't have it already?
Well, I trust our military leaders to do what they think is best, and I think that the plan, what we're doing right now, is appropriate. I mean,
it's working. In other words, we're building a great democracy, stable country in Iraq. That's what it's becoming.
It takes more than it's going to take more than a few weeks to do.
Or a few years, apparently.
There's all of a sudden this rush to we have to make it a perfect democracy in 20 minutes and then leave. I think is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, Jim, it's been 3 years. That's hardly 20 minutes. How many years do you think it'll take?
I'm not sure, and I think that you can't set a deadline on those sorts of things.
If it took 20 years, would it be worth it?
Until the job is done, I don't know.
If it took 20 years, would it be worth it?
Well, you have to look long term at where you are. I mean, it doesn't have to be a perfect, democracy. I mean, there are, look around the world. There are flaws in other governments too. But I think if you got yourself a peaceful, democratic country moving in the right direction, that would be a wonderful thing. And I think I don't know how long that will take, but I think we're moving fairly rapidly in the right direction.
Well, Robert, I think you've asked some really good questions, because after one and two, you get to number three, and you say, now that one or two are answered, what is the exit strategy? And we'll be getting to that and your calls at 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, right after this.
Want to know how a bad toupee saved a young executive from baldness? Bobby started losing his hair in his 20s. He was athletic, strong, and had begun his family, yet his confidence dwindled with his hair loss. So he tried a toupee. They promised it would look like real hair. What he got was itchy and unnatural. Then he decided to do research on hair loss. He found out he could get his own natural hair to grow back. He interviewed the doctors and other medical hair restoration clients, and he was amazed at the results. Now, for the happy ending, Bobby looks incredible. He says MHR changed his attitude in life. If you're losing your hair, don't spend a penny until you get the free interactive DVD from Medical Hair Restoration to learn about the natural options. See real life before and after pictures and get the full story on getting your real hair back. Call to order your free DVD now. There is no obligation. Call 800-936-2823. 800-936-2823. For an amazing free DVD, call now. 800-936-2823.
Twinkle, twinkle, little,
Poor nutrition in their first 5 years can limit memory development.
A, B, C, D, D, D.
And affect the rest of their lives.
The itsy bitsy spider went up the
Get proper nutrition before it's too late. Call or visit WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food. for women, infants, children. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you, and you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Debate Tuesday, and I'm debating Jim Parmelee, chairman of the Northern Virginia Republican Political Action Committee. The question is on Iraq, and I don't have to do much today because one of my listeners last Tuesday posted some stuff on the blog, and I think his questions, even without hearing Jim's answers, have done a really good job. He asked, number one, what's the latest, most, Robert calls it the most fattest goal for fighting in Iraq? And Jim gave answers. Build a democracy, make it the most stable area of the world. He says that's not only it, but that's the primary reason. Number two, he says, Robert asks, what does the U.S. need to attain that goal, people or equipment? I haven't quite heard all of Jim's answers, so I'll give him a chance. But it sounds like he thinks we're absolutely on the right track. And then his third question is, now that one and two are answered, what is the exit strategy? And that's of course, my next question for Jim. Robert, you've asked some great questions. So, Jim, let's go back to finishing two and then answering three. Number two, do we have enough personnel and equipment? Do we need more troops? Is the answer that whatever the president says, basically you support, whether it's put in 100,000 more or 100,000 less? Or do you believe that people like, say, General Barry McCaffrey, who says that our National Guard is in ruins, in 24 months he says it'll be completely dismantled given these policies? Or do you only support the military leaders that the president praises?
Look, our exit strategy in part are purple fingers, and what I mean, you know what I mean by that, which is people voting, people getting that, you know, purple ink on their fingers and realizing that they can vote and make a difference. And you know, I think that as people see that and they see that the terrorists are attacking election officials, they're attacking they're attacking the democratic process, people are starting to be emboldened to speak out against these gangs, against these terrorists, because it's awfully tough when these folks are threatening to kill you, to stand up to them. And I think the Iraqi people are getting more and more emboldened as the electoral process continues. And I think it's a good thing. And I think that as this process continues, at a certain point, they will be strong enough on their own for us to step back and then allow them to shoot for the goal of a perfect democracy.
Well, Jim, I certainly am a big fan of elections. The purple fingers happened. It happened several months ago now. That's terrific. Let's celebrate by having a nice farewell party. What do you think?
Well, I mean, my goodness, you're just, you want to just, drop the ball and run.
Yeah, I want to say it's their country, let them have it, and thank you, we deposed Saddam, you're welcome, Iraqis, now we can go.
Well, I don't think we're at the point where we can do that, and you know that. You know that more work needs to be done, and this idea of just running is a bad thing. I mean, we're President Bush is leading this country well. The voters chose him to lead for a second term, and he was said what he was going to do, and he's doing it. And
I'm not sure he said what he's going to do. What is his exit strategy?
Well, you talk about exit strategies, like you can sit there and say, all right, today this is how we're going to get out. And that's not what you do. You decide how you're going to win, what you need to do to win, and what the process is going to be. We might leave earlier than expected because things might move faster. We might leave later than expected. But I don't think, because maybe it might take a little more time. But the important thing is to focus on the goal. You're focused on when can we just, drop the ball and run. And that's a defeatist strategy, and I don't think people want that.
See, Jim,
I don't think most people want that.
That's one of the reasons why I really liked Robert's questions, because after he posed the three, and I know you haven't read these questions, so they're now on right there on the blog, but he writes on his post, he says, then Governor Bush publicly questioned President Clinton's exit strategy in Kosovo. Bush stated, directed to Clinton then, quote, victory can't be defined without an exit strategy, unquote. When some ask now President Bush these same questions of Iraq, they're heckled as unpatriotic and that the insurgents would just wait us out. Isn't that the same with Kosovo? They could have just waited Clinton out, and during the time of war in Kosovo, was Bush unpatriotic to Clinton during a time of war? not supporting the military in Kosovo. And one last thing Robert points out, and then his post is finally done. He writes, having 100,000 troops for 5 to 10 more years in Iraq is irresponsible. As Senator Chuck Hagel, Republican of Nebraska, he will agree. Your response, Jim?
Well, my response is two different countries, two different wars, and you know what we're looking at today is a strategy in Iraq where we know what the exit strategy is. The exit strategy is have elections,
we have
build a democracy, leave, make it secure, leave.
We had elections.
An exit strategy. You're asking for a timetable without without looking at the surrounding events.
We had elections. We had elections. They're wrangling over a constitution now. They're bringing it to a national referendum.
Right.
Their constitution says some extraordinary things. It says that nothing shall contradict Islam, and nothing shall contradict democracy, and nothing shall contradict basic rights and freedoms. And if they all contradict, well, there's no answer. Their constitution says that, in fact, courts are open except when they're secret, and you have freedom of the press and assembly and all of that, except when we say you don't, in interest of public morality. So, you know, their constitution is certainly worthy of Lewis Carroll and Alice in Wonderland. And,
well, isn't it nice that we're discussing a free and fair, freely chosen, a freely drawn constitution? I mean, even if we don't like everything that's in a constitution, think of what we're talking about now. We're talking about people who were elected by the populace sitting down and trying to draw out a constitution, which is going before the voters. I mean, that is a huge victory for democracy right there. And here you are picking it apart. And, yes, there are always things you can criticize. But let's look at the larger picture, which is people are voting and making a difference in their own lives.
Well, I don't know that they're making a difference when you have massive unemployment, no electricity, and they can't even secure the road from Baghdad to the airport. But the answer is, if it's such a wonderful thing and everything's going so well, then I think we can leave. I know we have callers on the line. I haven't forgotten you. You can join in the queue at 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, and we'll get right to your calls when I come back right after this.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, the television show that America grew up watching, now available on DVD. 20 episodes are yours for just $29.99. That's the money-saving price if you order online from RetroTelevision.com, RetroTelevision.com. Wild Kingdom, featuring Marlon Perkins and all the regular features that made this show a favorite family watching habit. Sorry, phone orders are not available at this low price of $29.99 for 20 episodes. Order this set now and get 3 episodes with famed primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. Order from RetroTelevision.com or go to www.TalkStarRadio.com. Save 25% with the online offering Wild Kingdom from RetroTelevision.com and TalkStar Radio.
Why can't I get a monkey?
Why can't you catch a whale with a worm?
Dad, can we go to the moon on vacation?
If you think it's tough answering these questions, imagine the ones you'll get if your child is diagnosed with cancer. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
This is the Duchess of York. What's really important in your life? It's your family and your friends. But isn't it also your health? People who are overweight or obese are at a greater risk for illnesses such as cancer. Check your BMI or body mass index. The lower the number, the lower the risk. So lose weight in a healthy way. You'll lower your BMI number. Now, isn't that important? Visit the website of the American Cancer Society at www.cancer.org. You and your family and friends will be glad you did.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Debate Tuesday here on the Inside Scoop. My guest is Jim Parmelee, chairman of the Northern Virginia Republican Political Action Committee. We're talking about the war in Iraq. Is there an exit strategy? I have a caller on the line, my favorite Vietnam War veteran, Gordon from Michigan. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. You asked for a fad rationale for being in Iraq, and I'm reminded of General Meyer's latest comment that the U.S. leaving Iraq would destabilize the entire Middle East. Now, according to this, can't we expect U.S. presence in Iraq irregardless of any success or failure of a democracy, a sovereign government in Iraq? Doesn't this effectively say that we have no exit policy, that we basically intend to colonize this region, or whether Iraq has a democracy or not?
The funny thing about that comment, Gordon, is I don't think the Middle East was a particularly stable place before we got in there. I don't know that it's any more stable afterwards. But, Jim, how do you answer Gordon's question?
Well, I think, you know, I guess the question would be, what does he think we should do? I mean, you know, the president is moving forward, Iraq is moving forward.
Is it?
And, you know, we can debate over how fast it's moving forward and you know, what direction. But I think we all should want the same direction, which is a peaceful, democratic, stable Iraq. I really don't think that we should have, you know, too much of a difference of opinion on that. But I'm sorry to hear from some folks is that, well, we just want to get out. We don't care. Don't care what happens.
Jim,
so let's just, you know, go home.
I'd love a peaceful, democratic, stable, non-communist Iraq. I'd like a peaceful, democratic, stable, non-communist Vietnam and China.
Yeah, what are you willing to do about it in Iraq? You're not willing to do anything about it, it sounds like.
I think we're doing something and moving backwards. As far as I'm concerned, Jim, our troops there cause more insurgency and more attacks and more Americans' lives lost than if we left. If I believe we could actually get this pot of gold at the end of a rainbow, that would be one thing. But you say we're moving forward. I see us as moving backward. I see the attacks as greater. I see more Americans dying every month. And at some point, you have to say, I think, either you cut our losses now and leave, and yes, Iraq may well descend into anarchy and civil war, or you leave 10 years from now and Iraq descends into anarchy and civil war after thousands of more Americans are dead. And of the two choices, I don't like either, but I like the first choice better than the second choice.
Look, I mean, you know, you saw those elections. People saw those elections. Didn't that give you any sort of, lump in the throat? I mean, those people went out to vote.
Jim,
they
there were elections
their
in Vietnam.
Lives to vote. I mean, shouldn't we back them up?
There were elections in Vietnam in 1968. The New York Times at that time talked about the glory and wonder of the new Vietnam with those elections. To me, it's not about elections. It's about letting them control their own lives. Of course, I would prefer it's democratic, but I don't think we can impose democracy by force. To me, imposing democracy by force is a little like forcing someone to love you. It would be wonderful if you could force someone to love you, but you can't do it by force. You can do it only by persuasion and by example, at least as far as I'm concerned.
We can help provide security so that the Iraqi people can grasp the democracy that they want without being harassed by terrorists.
Gordon, you were in Vietnam. Is Jim right or wrong?
Well, I'd just like to comment on the fact that the reality of that election that Jim keeps lauding is in the dissolution of this Constitution because they couldn't assimilate the Sunnis. I mean, perhaps the most we can expect from this government is to have a triangular-type faction or a coalition, but it doesn't seem like the Sunnis are going to be able to assimilate there, and I think it's pie in the sky to think that we're going to have a solidified sovereign government there of Iraqi basis.
But a number of the folks who said that they didn't, you know, a lot of the people in Iraq who were trying to break up the elections, who said don't participate in the elections, a lot of those folks now realize, apparently, that they need to participate to have a seat at the table. So I think that, you know, upcoming elections and hopefully additional elections, hopefully everyone will participate.
My concern, Jim, is I think you're looking at the trees rather than the forest. A constitution, I mean, is a great thing, but, you know, Syria has a constitution that promises all kinds of freedoms that they don't abide by. The Soviet Union had all these freedoms in the constitution, which we know were just words on a page. To me, it's not about the constitution. It's about what the people of Iraq want. And frankly, if they want to be three separate countries, Kurdistan, Sunni land, and Shiite theocracy, I think that's their right as a sovereign nation or maybe nations to do so. And I guess my question for you, Jim, is if Iraq is this unstable, 5 years from now, okay? Bush predicted mission accomplished in May 2 years ago. If it's this unstable 5 years from now, would you say to leave? 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when does it become like Vietnam? Or would you say, Jim, that we never should have left Vietnam? Before you answer, we got to take a break. I'm going to give you all the time in the break to answer that question. If you want to call in, folks, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, or you can do like Robert did. Post on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com, and I'll ask those tough questions of Jim, or, hey, you can ask tough questions of me. We'll be right back after this.
This is Newsbreak. The governor of Louisiana has called for the complete evacuation of the city of New Orleans. 80% of the city is flooded, the levees holding back Lake Pontchartrain have been breached, and the water is rising. Reporters say they've seen widespread looting in New Orleans. Virtually every store along the famed Canal Street has been looted. Insurers have estimated Hurricane Katrina could end up being the costliest storm to ever hit the U.S. Some estimates are going as high as $26 billion. President Bush, cutting short his vacation, returned to Washington to deal with the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. On Wall Street today, the Dow dropped almost 50 points to 10,413. NASDAQ lost almost 8 points to 2,129. And the S&P 500 was off 4 points, closing the day at 1208. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez says the nation's making progress in the effort to combat methamphetamines. There's more news at usaradio.com.
William Shatner here at the rental car pickup. Excuse me, miss, how did you choose this car?
I shopped around for the best prices.
Well, now you can do that on Priceline. Shop and compare before you buy. Now you can actually select the company, car type, or say you want a minivan.
Oh, nice. I'm not even married, and you're telling me to get a minivan? You're cruel.
The new all-in-one Priceline. Shop, compare, save. Find great deals on last-minute summer rental cars. Go to Priceline.com today.
John here. I'm running late. Construction at the tunnel.
The road to your business meeting is filled with obstacles.
Me again. I'm stuck on second. Yeah, nice parade.
Why not web conference with Microsoft Office Live Meeting and have productive meetings without leaving the office? Present to clients around the globe, collaborate in real time, even get instant feedback by taking a live poll. Try it free for 14 days at Microsoft.com/get live. That's Microsoft.com/get live or call 1-877-MEET-WEB today.
It's going to be a while.
I'm Joe Graydon, and this is our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
The popular herbal antidepressant St. John's wort was suspected of interacting with a number of medications. Now, a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association has confirmed that St. John's wort has a strong influence on an enzyme responsible for metabolizing nearly half of all prescription drugs. The herbal medicine speeds up the elimination and reduces the effectiveness of birth control pills and some anti-anxiety agents, AIDS medicines, cholesterol-lowering drugs, and antihistamines. This research shows that many other medicines may also be affected. Anyone who's taking St. John's wort with another medicine should check with a physician or pharmacist to determine if the combination poses special risks. This is Terry Graydon with the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Debate Tuesday here on the Inside Scoop. My guest is Jim Parmelee, Chairman of the Northern Virginia Republican Political Action Committee and President of Republicans United for Tax Relief. But we're not talking about taxes today. We're talking about Bush foreign policy. And I asked Jim the question before the break about the comparison to Vietnam. You know, I've read the book, David Halberstam's book, The Best and the Brightest. And that book describes how we had all the best intentions in Vietnam, prevented from becoming communist, and we really did have the best and the brightest graduates of the best schools, including some I attended, out there to try to solve the problem in Vietnam, and we had elections and all this stuff, and after 50,000 lives, we finally lost our tail between our legs. And the irony of Vietnam, at least as far as I see it, is that Vietnam today is much better now since we've left. It is becoming...
Come on. The Cold War ended. We won the Cold War. That, you're forgetting an entire period of history.
But Vietnam, you think Vietnam was all about the Soviet Union? I mean, Vietnam fought a war with China over its borders. It wasn't about communism.
You don't think the Vietnam War had anything to do with the Cold War?
I think it got some support, sure.
But I think that to
the Vietnamese, that wasn't what it was about. To the Vietnamese, I think it was about nationalism. It was about getting us out of their country. I think that's why the South Vietnamese supported the Viet Cong.
There's just so much there, I don't even know where to start. Vietnam ended up being a war. The superpowers got involved on both sides of that war, as they did in other areas, as we did and as the Soviets did. And at the end of the Cold War, when we won and the Soviets stopped sowing troubles around the world, a lot of their former client states ended up being a lot better off because we won the Cold War.
But we never had to invade Poland or Czechoslovakia or any other countries. Let me ask you this, Jim. Do you think we were wrong to leave Vietnam in 73 and 75?
Well, clearly our goal was to win there and to keep have a democratic government in South Vietnam.
Were we wrong to leave?
It was a terrible thing that it fell.
Were we wrong to leave in 73? I mean, do you think we should have had troops right up there from 73 to, let's say, the end of the Cold War in 89?
Well, you guys are certainly wanting to refight Vietnam. I think the core thing to remember here is, the anti-war movement was making some of the same arguments that you're making now, which is we don't care what's right or wrong, we don't care who's good or bad. We just want to run home.
I've never said I don't care what's right or wrong. I'm just asking you whether you think we were wrong to leave Vietnam in 73 and we should have stayed.
I think, in 73, there was a lot of pressure from the anti-war movement, the leftists, a number of folks who quite frankly, were supportive of the Soviet Union. You had the Communist Party, you had the Socialists, you had all sorts of folks. I'm not saying that they were all supportive of the Soviet Union, but there was a lot of open support for the Soviet Union and a lot of open antagonism toward America. Huh. And you had a very... divided and society, and President Nixon did the best he thought he could.
Well, listen, I wasn't around politically in that time period.
My
impression is that the great majority of anti-war activists were not there because they loved the Soviet Union, but because they cared about the tens of thousands of Americans dying there. We'll have to leave that to people, scholars of the day. I think that's my impression of it. But just to answer my question, then I want to get Gordon back on the line. Do you think we were wrong to leave Vietnam? I mean, that's the heart of my question. Yes. No, I'm asking you, Jim.
I think we should have won Vietnam. I mean,
so we should have stayed.
You're asking me, I'm not sure exactly what the point of your question is.
Okay, well, no, you think we should have won. So that suggests to me that you think that we should have stayed and perhaps, I don't know, escalated nuclear war. How could we have won the war in Vietnam? The reason I'm asking you about Vietnam is obviously because I see extreme parallels between Vietnam and Iraq. And if your impression is we should have stayed, and we were wrong to leave after 8 years there, I'm not sure what more we could have done. Maybe dropped a nuclear bomb, but I'm not sure. My problem, Jim, is I don't think you're learning the lessons of Vietnam. If you think we should have stayed there, what could we have done there? Just like what could we do now in Iraq?
You're talking about these two countries like they're the same. Unless I'm mistaken, there is not a constituted Soviet Union backing the terrorist in Iraq. There is not a superpower, shipping aid and comfort to terrorists. I mean, so
there is a large terrorist network. I mean,
sure, but it's not anything like the superpower we faced during the Cold War, and we still are. Superpower, and I think to compare the two, I think is absolutely. I mean, they're just not the same thing.
Gordon, you get the last word here.
Well, it seems that Jim can define victory in Vietnam about as well as he can define victory in Iraq, and he seems to think we have an indefinite timeline in Iraq, and we. We don't, really, because we have logistical contingencies about our military, serious concerns about being able to keep the numbers up in Iraq, and we also have an election coming, and this is America, and this is a democracy here, and we have 60% of the people in this country who don't believe the lies and the fallacies and the fad rationales for being there.
Why was President Bush reelected then?
Well, there's still some contingency about that election in Ohio, Mr. Pomeroy.
Oh, come
and we
on.
Want to know real answers about diebold machines. Can you tell us about those machines, Mr. Pomeroy?
If we're going to go off into conspiracy land,
well, no,
I
Jim,
guess it's a different show.
Jim, I mean, I as you know, I've done a lot of shows on voting, but you can't deny, and we don't have to go there right now, though obviously I agree with your view, Gordon, but you can't deny, though, Jim, that a much larger proportion of the American people are against the war in Iraq today than they were at the time of the election a year ago, and I think it's because they see that we are treading water at best, or arguably slowly sinking. We're not moving forward, we're moving backwards, and just like Vietnam in the 63 and 64 had a lot of support, it lost that support by 72, 73. Iraq is just losing support at a faster rate.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You guys seem to be trying to tie the two together. Let me ask.
What's the difference?
Do you want to win in Iraq?
I'd love a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow, but I think that us being in Iraq actually causes more terrorism, more loss of American lives, because people see us not as this wonderful democratic nation that the Chinese in the 1980s in Tiananmen Square held us up in a positive light. We are seen as the oppressor, not just in the Arab world, but even in places like Australia and Europe. They see us as a greater force for evil sometimes than Osama bin Laden. And obviously, I don't believe that. But the point is that when we are acting not in self-defense, but in an aggressive manner to occupy a country, I think that does us more harm than good. We got to take another break. I'll give you a chance, Jim. I promise after the break. Thank you for your call, Gordon. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
It's bad enough if you suffer asthma, but as a parent, the agony of watching your child struggling for breath must be agony beyond measure. What if there was a natural, effective, drug-free answer to asthma? You'd want to know, wouldn't you? Well, I've been reading up on a little-known clinical trial at a major hospital that suggests you can be rid of asthma symptoms, and sinus and allergy symptoms to breathe easily, calmly, and in a more natural, relaxed way. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. You've got 90 days to decide if this program works for you. If it doesn't, you get your money back. Go to www.healthstarproducts.com.
Do you know what women want? If you're losing your hair, here are two things guaranteed to turn them off: a toupee or that hairsprayed comb-over look. But you hate your hair loss and you want it to change. That's where the new interactive and absolutely free DVD from Medical Hair Restoration can help. Various cures for hair loss flood radio and TV airwaves. But the first question to consider is what has been scientifically and medically proven. Founded by Dr. Matt Levitt, Medical Hair Restoration has specialized in hair loss for over 11 years. With literally thousands of satisfied patients, you deserve to get your copy of their free DVD and find out the answers to your questions about restoring your hair to its natural, attractive condition. See the amazing before and after pictures of people who have gotten their real hair, self-esteem, and confidence back. Call to order your free DVD now. There is no obligation, just real results. You know what women want? To run their fingers through your real hair. Call 800-936-2823, 800-936-2823. For an amazing free DVD, call now, 800-936-2823.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Tuesday. Every Tuesday on the Scoop, we try to bring someone on the show with views quite different from my own. Today, that guest is Jim Parmelee, chairman of the Northern Virginia Republican Political Action Committee, and we're talking about U.S. foreign policy, specifically the war in Iraq. And before the break, I was asking, really challenging Jim, about the war in Iraq. Jim says that wouldn't it be better if we were to win it and have democracy and all that? And look, you know, pie in the sky, pot of gold, all that would be wonderful. But as far as I'm concerned, when we wage a war against a country that never attacked us, against a country that even if we reasonably believe there were weapons of mass destruction, and we can argue about that, they're not there and they weren't there when we invaded. When you make a war against a country and it's a mistake, then the world sees you as occupying that country. And I want to add, it's not just that. It's our policy that we can detain anyone in the world. We can hold them without trial. We can torture them. It's interesting. Al Jazeera correspondent Mohammed Yamlahi Alami came on Al Jazeera and he said, look, for the detainees in Guantanamo Bay, he said, try these guys. Show me the evidence and hang them if they deserve to die. If not, let them go. And I think it's shameful when a correspondent on Al Jazeera has more concern for due process and democracy than the U.S. government. What is wrong with simply giving due process? If these people are guilty, shoot them. But if they're not, let them go. Jim?
I mean, here, okay, so now you're taking Al Jazeera as the paragon of virtue, and you know we need a lot of media outlets, and the fact that I don't agree with their reporting a lot of the time. Hey, they have a right to be out there and do that, and that's fine. But you know, if you're going to go for legal opinions to Al Jazeera,
I'm talking about principle, not legal opinions. What's wrong with saying that if you have somebody in jail, whether it be Guantanamo Bay or a U.S. prison, that you got to present evidence against them, and if they're guilty, death penalty. But if they're not guilty, they have a right to a trial. What about that is antithetical to American democracy? I think that's what it's all about.
You were in the middle of a war here, and these folks are combatants, are suspected combatants, and we're providing them with lawyers. We're going through a process, and quite frankly, you know, we're treating them a whole lot better than they would have been treated under the previous under a lot of systems. I mean, we are providing them with lawyers. We are obviously you can certainly have complaints about different things, but overall, you think that we're doing a good job there?
Wait, we're not providing them with lawyers. A few lawyers have stood up and tried to represent them and haven't been allowed to talk to their clients. Bush's position was that these people can be held indefinitely incommunicado, and it's only because the United States Supreme Court said, oh, you have to give them some minimum due process, that we're even having these fairly, frankly, fake trials, that show trials, with less due process than the Soviet Union had. I mean, why can't we uphold democratic values in the way we treat prisoners if we're trying to promote democracy abroad?
So you're saying we're not treating prisoners better than, say, the ones, our prisoners in Iraq? I mean, you know, which you're saying, I mean, we are, look at the big picture here. We are treating, even folks in Guantanamo who were, by and large caught on enemy battlefields, attempting to kill Americans. We are treating them with a strong process, with a process that people can oversee, it's fairly transparent. I mean, I think you can make complaints about little things, but if you look at our small parts. But when people are mistreating prisoners, what do? We arrest them, and they go to jail. They have a trial, and they go to jail.
Oh,
so,
I wish that were true.
We're not, you've brought this up on shows before about how sometimes prisoners are mistreated, and that is wrong. But we prosecute the people who mistreat prisoners.
I wish that were true. We not only don't prosecute them, we make it legal as a matter of law. I mean, have you read these FBI descriptions of the interrogations that go on in Guantanamo? Let me read one to you. I mean, they found detainees chained hand and foot in a fetal position with no chair or food or water. They've been left there for 18 to 24 hours or more until they urinated or defecated on themselves. Either the air conditioning was set to make interrogation rooms so cold the detainee was violently shaking, or so unbearably hot that the detainee who endured the temperature for hours was practically unconscious. And yet, according to the Army, these do not violate U.S. law or the Geneva Accords. I mean, at the very least, we could declare this conduct illegal and prosecute people, but we're not doing that, Jim.
Well, now hold on. You're pointing out examples of things, and when you have a lot of prisoners, you're going to have some instances that are improper. And what we do is we prosecute
but
those
we
things.
Don't.
And you know, just because you're not getting the exact results you want in, you know, 10 minutes or less, does not mean that we're not going through the process and doing the best we can.
Let me give you a very specific thing, okay? The Pentagon assigned Generals Randall Schmidt and John Furlow to investigate the Guantanamo interrogations, okay? And here's what they found. Based on these same FBI reports that I've read to you, that apart from the report, which confirms that what the FBI had said was true, to me the conclusion that was most surprising was not the tortures, but that nearly every incident was authorized by Pentagon guidelines that Donald Rumsfeld approved between October 2002 and April 2003. This isn't a question of a few people acting outside the guidelines. This is a question of systematic torture. All right, I call it torture. You may just call it not treating people very nicely. But the point is, it is approved by Pentagon guidelines. I don't
so
know how you respond to that.
You just think our military is a bunch of, you know, barbaric torturers then?
I think that the United States government has allowed our army to do some pretty awful things, and I respect those members of the military that have stood back and said, I'm not going to do it, even if the president tells us it's legal. I want to go to one of the people on the phone, Dave from California. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. Jim, I personally feel you are trying to package and argue in defense of a very dangerous group of people right now. I believe that so many fronts. One, the billionaires are doing extremely well now. And we learned today that we have a higher number of people in poverty than has ever before been. That has to do with the policies of this administration. Do you have a thought on that?
Well, I'm not sure what statistics that you're looking at, but the general standard of living in this country has gone up. So, I mean, you know, I'm not sure exactly what you're pointing to.
I'm saying that if you average in how really well the billionaires are doing with the people struggling in the minimum wage brackets and those who have had their jobs outsourced, average them all together, it is like having Donald Trump walk into your tavern. The average income in that tavern just jumped up to $1 million, you know?
How about poverty? Poverty is up. You can't deny that, do you, Jim?
I can tell you that the economy is expanding.
Yeah, but poverty
is
high.
That things are getting better, and that I don't know. I mean, if you want to make this, you know, make this a referendum, if we're switching from Iraq to the economy, again, the president was reelected. The president's following the policies that he talked about, and the economy is looking up. Certainly, after 9/11, that hurt our economy, and there's some long-term hurt to our economy because of that, and we are coming back, and in large part because of the president's tax cuts that have spurred economic growth.
I'm sorry, we have to take another break. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Let's play Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community with Ella in Santa Monica, California.
Hey, wait, I don't want to volunteer.
Volunteering can really be fun. In fact, we've asked your entire algebra class here to tell you more.
But we were thinking that you should start tutoring people because you're all, like, smart and stuff.
I should.
You free tonight?
Sure.
To find out ways you can volunteer in your community, log on to teensvolunteer.org. Do what you like to do. Volunteer. A public service message brought to you by the USA Freedom Corps, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
Truckers keep America on the move, and lots of times it's chiropractors who keep truckers going. Here's a benefits card for truckers with discounts of 30 to 50% from a network of thousands of doctors of chiropractic in cities and towns all across America. This same card provides savings up to 60% from dentists at home and on the road. For $11.95 a month for individuals and $19.95 for your whole family, besides savings on chiropractors and dentists, there are similar savings on prescriptions and optical services at home and on the road. Got to get braces for the kids? Why not save 50%? This isn't insurance. These are instant savings with no paperwork to fill out. Truckers are important to us and the whole point of truckersbenefits.com. Get online now. Go to www.truckersbenefits.com for the whole story. If you're on the road, phone home and tell them to check out truckersbenefits.com from just $11.95 per month.
I really wanted to help the homeless, so I donated money to a shelter, which gets them a hot meal and a bed, but the next day they're on the street again. So I start working at a job training center, but the only jobs most of them can get pay minimum wage, so they can't afford a place to live. And now they can't go back to the shelters, because most of the shelters lost their funding when the budget emphasis shifted from housing to job training.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're rounding up the last few minutes here of Debate Tuesday. I've invited as my guest someone who reliably defends the administration. That's why I bring him on the show. His name is Jim Parmelee. He's chairman of the Northern Virginia Republican Political Action Committee. Jim, our caller Dave did change the subject, but that's always fair on Debate Tuesday. He brought up the issue of the economy, and I want to focus on poverty, because it's one thing to talk about, oh, yes, this billionaire made a whole bunch of billion more dollars. But according to the Census Bureau, the nation's poverty rate rose this year for the fourth consecutive year. The last time the poverty rate went down was, guess what, in 2000. But in 01, 02, 03, and 04, it is consistently up. Median income, the income by which half of Americans have less and half have more, stayed the same, which means with whatever inflation we have, that real incomes are going down. I'm not going to dispute, Jim, with you, that I'm sure there's some very rich people that are much richer now. I'm not going to dispute that. And if you average everything in together, you could say that we're all better off. But for the median American and for poor Americans, you can't dispute times are getting worse, can you?
Well, I can certainly refer, since we've changed topics, while during the break, I looked up a few things. And according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, more than 2.2 million jobs have been created since July 2004. From some other sources, new home sales are up 27.7% since July 2004. You have a lot of indicators of things going up, good things going up,
including poverty,
spurring the. You're trying to juxtapose. You can look at these numbers different ways, and I'm just telling you that there are more jobs now, and that we're cutting taxes for folks, we're increasing jobs, and the economy is getting better.
I think people are working harder and earning less. Dave, you got one last comment?
Just to be difficult, I'll take it back to Iraq. We are building, I think, 17 of the world's largest military bases and the world's largest embassy. Does that sound like people that are working on an exit strategy at all to you, Jim?
Well, I would think a good embassy is a good thing, and that we need to have enough troops there to provide security. It is an important to win this. This is an important task.
What is a win? In the minute or two we have remaining, what would you define as a win, Jim?
Like I said earlier, we want to establish a democratic Iraq that is a good neighbor and that is that helps to spread democracy by example throughout the world.
Okay, and if we don't get that, in how many years are you willing to quit?
Well,
or
is
the answer never? We'll be there permanently.
You know what? We have to look at where we are. At a certain point, if the Iraqis are in a good situation and they're moving on the right track, the democratic track, at that point, we can leave it in their capable hands.
And what if they're not?
We have to try to get to.
And what if they're not? In 5, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, when do we go home if they're not moving in that direction?
So you're saying that the Iraqis never, ever are going to be able to have democracy?
No, I'm saying they can't have democracy while we occupy them. They can only have it when they get it for themselves.
Well, it's awfully hard to get it for yourselves when you're under the thumb of Saddam Hussein. We got rid of Saddam Hussein.
That's right. And it's also difficult when you're under the thumb of the U.S. Army.
Would you guys want him back? I mean,
no.
It's ridiculous. We got rid of Saddam, and we're working on helping them build a democracy.
We got rid of Saddam, but now it's time to get rid of us as well. It's not easy, I think, to take your country and believe in it when some other country is occupying it. I think when we leave, that is Iraq's best hope for democracy, but I'll give you the last word.
Well, you know, we can't. When the democratically elected government of Iraq asks us to leave, you know, that's one thing. But I think that Iraqis want, you know, mainly for us to stay to provide security. They would like us. They would like to be on their own. But they know that right now the situation is, you know, requires American assistance, and that's what we're doing. We are assisting Iraq.
Well, I'm afraid our time is up. It is worth remembering that those Iraqis with purple fingers voted for a party that claimed that they wanted the United States to leave. You can't blame the people of Iraq for the fact that the government changed its tune. I wonder how much their money they're getting from us. That's it for Debate Tuesday. Thank you, Jim, for coming on the show. We'll be back tomorrow on The Inside Scoop.
A pop quiz for parents with second grade teacher Mrs. Rich.
Today's quiz will be a multiple choice. Number one, the last time I watched TV...